Well, grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, as I mentioned last week, this is kind of part of a three-part series and that I'm doing kind of in the book of Galatians. Now, if you missed last week, it's okay. Let me catch you back up. Whenever we talk about the law of God, a lot of times we talk about that which captivates, which imprisons, which holds us back. Whereas, when we talk about how we are heirs of Christ, we do not talk like that, but yet we talk about walking in the light of God. One of the differences is this idea of ownership. Laws restrict because they're trying to restrict us from, a lot of times, doing bad things. They're trying to restrict us from doing things that are not something that we would do as owners. I used an illustration of a car. We're going to carry on with kind of that topic today, but we're a lot further along. We were in chapter 3, now we're all the way in chapter 5, and I'd like to tell you about a time when I accidentally stumbled into studying and research of St. Augustine, as we all do. I know how that goes. You're sitting at your desk and You're just reflecting, and you're like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh my goodness, what happened? Now I'm studying St. Augustine. It happens to the best of us. I get it. I've been there. I was once asked to make kind of a bulletin announcement, if you will, for Orphan Grain Train. This was up at St. Mark's way back when. And we were doing something with Orphan Grain Train, and I saw like a very dutiful, very young pastor who doesn't know his way around doing a lot of different things, I thought I would do the best thing ever. I would simply type charity into my search bar and figure out which verses contain the verse charity and find one that fits and throw it in there. Now, Orphan Grain Train is a fabulous organization. We've worked with them here even in the past. They do a lot of great work. Advertising is not one of them. They don't really have a budget for advertising. They spend too much of their money actually trying to help people. I know, it's a unique concept, but it's what they do. So this is what I did. And can you guys guess, there's only one verse in the whole Bible that has the word charity in it? Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. That's it. In all of the Old Testament, in all of the New Testament, that is the only word, only time we have the word translated as charity. And that's both the ESV and NIV, just in case you're wondering. That's right. That's it. So that wasn't going to do. So I decided, well, obviously, charity is mentioned a lot or talked about a lot by a lot of different people. Let's figure this out. And that's when it happened. I stumbled in to St. Augustine. It's the oldest picture we have of St. Augustine. It goes back to the 6th century. St. Augustine was in the 4th century, just in case you're wondering. So who knows if that's what he actually looked like. But that's one of the oldest pictures we have. Images. I shouldn't say pictures. We didn't have any snapshots back then, sorry. But anyway, so there we have it. Now, if you don't know who St. Augustine is, the reality is that you do. You might not know that you do, but you do. And here's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like some beach you went to or something else, or maybe you saw a statue. I mean, you actually carry some of the thoughts that St. Augustine had that he preached about and he taught about. Let me help you out. This verse in the Bible, right? 1 John 4, verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Notice that verse. God is love. You've heard it before. You might have even said it before. You've thought it before. That's because of St. Augustine. St. Augustine used this verse as a lens. He actually used 1 John as a lens by which to read through the rest of Scripture. And he basically developed this concept, the idea that God is love, as a way to look at all the other verses in Holy Scripture. Now, don't get me wrong. They talked about the love of God. They talked about all that stuff even before St. Augustine. But my guess is if you walk down the street and talk to random people, somebody's going to tell you that God is love. Even if they're not even a Christian, they'll say, well, God is love. They got it from St. Augustine. They just don't know it. This is how impactful St. Augustine is. St. Augustine so firmly believed this that he used this as a lens to read through Holy Scripture, and we still carry that with us. He so influenced the entirety of Christendom that we carry that with us to this day. And we get it. Once you understand that God is love, found in Holy Scripture, and you start reading the Bible like that, it opens it up and it makes it make so much sense. There's so much greatness that he gave to the church. Okay, so I'm 6 minutes into a sermon and you're going, Pastor Chris, what does this have to do with anything? Well, let me tell you, St. Augustine talked about charity a lot. I mean a lot. He talked about charity all over the place. And after a while, I began to realize that maybe his idea of charity and my idea of charity wasn't quite the same. You see, he even started referencing our epistle lesson for today. In fact, he referenced our epistle lesson quite a bit, this idea of charity, over and over again. And I come to discover that in the ancient languages, when we translate things over, sometimes they don't have a good word. He was talking about love. And a lot of the ancients, they made a distinction between different types of love. In Greek, there's 3 different words for love. In Hebrew, there's 7. Right? There's a lot of distinction with this idea of love. And St. Augustine was very specific on how he viewed it. Charity was this idea of what we would call, maybe you've heard the idea of agape love, or godly love. This idea of this fullness of love is all too often translated as charity. And so here I was trying to make a flyer, running into St. Augustine all over the place. As one does, we run into St. Augustine, it happens. But now, how does this have to do with anything? Well, we have a lot of things going on here. Again, Paul is talking to these Galatians, and he is expounding what this is all about and how this all works. How law can sometimes restrict, and how the gospel, how being an heir of God, basically frees us up. And he talks about that, and he creates these lists, right? He talks about, what are you following? What are you following? Are you following the flesh, or are you following the Spirit? Because if you're an heir of God, you shouldn't be following the flesh. If you follow the flesh, what do? He gives you a list. A big list. Now, the works of the flesh, by the way, flesh are like that sinful nature that we all have. If you follow the flesh, you have all these things: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity. Now, he's not saying that if you follow the flesh, you're going to have all of those. When he's talking about this, he is talking about how as we have that sinful nature inside of us, it is very, very selfish. And that sinful nature that is so selfish has a tendency to follow those things which it thinks that it wants, or that it thinks it can pull joy out of, or whatever, however you want to kind of put it. But here's the funny thing about this. The sinful nature that we have in us a lot of times confuses things. It confuses a means with an ends. That is to say, it takes something that normally you would see this is a means to an end and not the end itself, and it confuses it with an end. And so this list is filled with a bunch of stuff that a lot of people confuse themselves over, and basically they think it's an end in itself when it's really not. Take the one that we typically get all kinds of flack over. We might say something like money. Money's a big one. We all talk about money. A lot of people get confused. They feel like the end game is money. I want to get as much money as I can. When they forget that money is just an ends. If you had all the money in the world, you would have a lot of paper. And maybe some gold, which is steel. It's cold. It's not the ends. The ends are what you buy with the money, what you do with the money. That's what the ends are. But the sinful flesh tends to confuse those two. And so when you start looking at this list, notice that you have a bunch of means to an end, but you don't have the end. And yet, when you follow the Spirit, notice how it's put. It's not when you are, it's not confusing the ends. This is the fruit of the Spirit. If you set as your focus our Heavenly Father through the working of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit come. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Again, these are not the ends. These are simply the means. And it's not even the means to get us to go somewhere. This is simply the result of who we are. God has made you an heir. Through the very working of Christ Jesus, as we remember from Galatians 3, you have been baptized into Christ Jesus, you have put on Christ Jesus, and that changes you. That changes you. And as it changes you, you will see the fruits of the Spirit take place. And these are the fruits of the Spirit. But they're not a law. We're not sitting around going, you better do this. And if you don't do this, oh boy. No. As an heir of God, as somebody who has had a new birth of water and the Spirit, this is simply a part of who you are. Now we could get into the doctrine of simultaneously saint and sinner at the same time. I know that's a big doctrine. Paul discusses this quite a bit about how that we are daily born again through our baptism. In fact, I always love in the small catechism, I always tell the youth this, and I've told this here too, but Dr. Luther actually says when you wake up in the morning, make the sign of the cross to remind yourself that you are a baptized child of God, that you have been daily washed clean. But as the day goes on, that sinful flesh keeps coming and it wages war on us. Wages war. So we have this new creation in the Spirit, and we have our old sinful self, simultaneously saint and sinner. But as we live our life, as we walk this walk, as the Spirit of God influences us and basically works through us, we should see some of these things. Some of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. They're wonderful things, but there's no law against those. There's no restriction against those. Nobody's going to say, you're just filled with too much goodness. You need to tone down the kindness level a little bit. Nobody's going to say that. There's no laws against those. Those are good things, and those are gifts of God that He works through you. This is what Paul is trying to teach these Galatians. They've taken on some of these old laws and they've tried to use those again. But Paul teaches that in Christ Jesus we are new creations, and as new creations we walk differently. You are a child of God. You are an heir with Christ Jesus. Not through your own doing, not because of you completed the law so good, but instead because of the work of the Spirit in your life. The work of the Spirit is at work in you. And the Spirit is at work in you because of Christ Jesus and the work that He did for you, winning your justification, winning your righteousness. Again, not because of what you've done, but because of what he has done for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, please stand as we now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.